The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, because the law of the Lord leaves people condemned. But we just read in John that, you know, we're not condemned. No, he said you're condemned already. You are condemned. Verse 17 says Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. He didn't come to condemn us because we're already condemned, because the law leaves us condemned. The law can't save you. Amen. Keeping the Ten Commandments cannot save you. All it can do is leave you condemned. That's it. It just shows you you're guilty. Amen. Just like if you get pulled over. I know none of you do this, but if you get pulled over and get a speeding ticket, that you broke the law, so that's just showing that you did wrong. It's not like, here, you broke the law, here's your, we got a $20 gift card for you. No, they don't do that. They're like, give us $100 or more. I mean, I got a no seatbelt ticket before. This was like, I was probably like 18, 19 years old. So this was 18 years ago. Got a no seatbelt ticket 18 years ago, $75. I'm like, what? Do you ticket the motorcyclists? Because they don't wear seatbelts. I don't know if they know that, but they don't wear seatbelts. Why do I have to in my own car? Anyway, that's a whole other argument. Don't get me started on that stuff. This is why we get like 3 slides into these things and never go anywhere. But $75. And what was it telling me? What was that ticket saying? You broke the law. Kind of. But that's what it's showing. You broke the law. It's no, oh, well, I'll fix that. No, I fix it by paying the penalty. That's how I fix it. That's the only way to get that off my record is to pay the penalty. Which in that case, it's something minor, so it's $75. So I pay it, and now that's taken care of. But the penalty has to be paid because the law was broken. That's how it works. So we've broken God's laws. The penalty has to be paid. The penalty is the lake of fire. We're going to go and spend eternity there. There's no purgatory. There's no getting out. It's like, I'll just be here for 1,000 years. Nope, none of that. You're there, and you're there for good. Thrown in, lock the door, throw away the key. You aren't getting out. The time is now. The times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. The change has to be made now. You've got to turn to the Lord now. Look, the first thing you need to do right now, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. Amen. That's the first thing you need to take care of, because nothing else matters. What does it matter? You know, sometimes what keeps people, what hinders people from getting saved is they think, well, if I believe that, if I see what you're saying, it makes sense to me. So if I'm going to believe that, then that means then what my grandma believed was false and my grandma's in hell. Right? Does that change truth? Does that change truth? If I believed that this was made out of pure silver, does that make that true? I promise you it's not. It's not, because we'd sell it and get cheap fake ones like this, okay, and use the money for the Lord, okay? That's what we would do. All right, but it doesn't change the truth. Okay, look, I've had to accept that a lot of my family has died and gone to hell. But that doesn't change truth. That doesn't change God's mercy, God's love. It also doesn't change the fact that God is just and he always does what's right. See, we want to stand here and say, but my grandma, my grandpa, my mom, my dad, whoever it was a good person. According to who? According to who were they a good person? According to our standards, sure, they might have been. According to God's standards, God says there's none that doeth good, no, not one. Right. If you've told a lie, God says, I'm going to throw you in the lake of fire, Revelation 21:8. See, because what we don't understand is we want to make different levels or different degrees of sin and say, well, these ones aren't bad over here. And typically the ones that aren't bad are the ones I do. Now, the bad ones are the ones you do. Okay, but the ones I do aren't bad. So we want to make different degrees of sin and say that, oh, this is okay. My grandma was a good person. She's in heaven. Well, if she never trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior, she's not. Amen. She's not. Look, right now I can stand here and say almost with 100% certainty that my father is in hell and he's been there for the last 31 years, coming up in 2 days. and it's never going to change. So I could have stayed on the same path he was on and on the way to hell, because I said, well, I just can't accept that. I could have chosen to do that. Or I can say, look, that's truth, and Jesus died for my sins and he loved me. My father rejected it and he made his choice. I'm going to make my choice and I'm going to choose Christ. Amen. And that's what it comes down to for each of us. But there's a lot of people that won't come to Christ because of that. Well, if I accept that, then that means all my family's in hell. Maybe. Why don't you change the family tree?
Amen.
Amen. Why don't you make it different for your kids and for their kids? I mean, most every parent here wants things better for their children than they had it. But when you say that, well, I'm not going to get saved because then that means all my family's wrong. Well, if you've had a family of drunkards and wife beaters all their life, and you say, well, I'm just going to keep being a drunkard and a wife beater because that's what I don't want to say my family's wrong. What kind of sense does that make? That's foolishness, nonsense. No one, people don't think like that. They may do that, but they're not like, oh, I want my son to be a wife beater too. Nobody wants that. What we would do is say, I want to change that because this is better. Well, amen. We ought to want to change it and receive the righteousness of Christ because he loves us. That's love. See, love is not acceptance of sin.
Amen.
God does not accept our sin. I promise you, you die and go to hell. God is not going to, you die and stand before God. He's not going to accept your sin. Love is not acceptance of sin. Love is acceptance of truth. We accept truth. God will give us truth. You know, if you're lost and you die and stand before God, God will show his love in throwing you in hell.
Right.
How could that be loving? Let me put it to you like this. Let's say that somebody came in, they broke into your house in the middle of the night, and they savagely just murdered, brutalized your family, and you were the only survivor. I mean, just the worst things you can think of. They did and killed your family. This person did it, tortured them, everything else, killed them. They're guilty. They get caught. They admit they did it, all that. There's no way around it. Everyone knows they did it. They know they did it. You know they did it. You saw them. You witnessed it. You testified, all that stuff. And they stand before the judge at sentencing time, and they're standing before that judge, and the judge says, do you have anything to say for yourself? And the defendant, this murderous, wicked, evil person, stands before the judge and says, yes, judge, I do. I believe you're a loving judge. I believe you're forgiving. I know I did those things that are wrong, but I haven't done it anymore. And I'm really sorry. Would you please let me go? Now, that person just killed your family in the most horrific way you can think of. Let me ask you, would that be love to let that person go? Is that justice? I say no. That's not love. How's that showing love to you as the one, the survivor? That is not love. That's not justice. God won't do that with us if we stand before him. Remember earlier I said, for me to be forgiven of my ticket, there needs to be a payment made. I had to pay the money to be forgiven that or to be excused of that. It's the same way with our sin. There has to be a payment made. There's two options, and that's it. There's only two. You pay for it yourself by spending eternity in the lake of fire, or you let God do it.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus Christ paid the penalty already.
Praise the Lord.
He took our punishment that we deserve, and he will give us his righteousness. That's the amazing thing. He'll put his righteousness on top of us. It's like this. Let's pretend that this, here, can I get someone, Brother Brad, can I get your suit coat? All right, we can just set them both right here. Thank you. Okay, now, we're going to pretend, because this is bigger and it'll cover me better, all right, that this one right here, okay, this is my sin, this is the filth of my flesh. This is, we could put it like this. This is my righteousness. This is all my good works, but it's tainted. It's corrupt. It's nasty. It's filthy, putrefying, just disgusting. No one would want it. It's like it's got the black plague on it. Anybody want to wear this? No, it'll kill you. You don't want anything to do with this, but this is my righteousness. Okay. And what happens at salvation is I've got, before I come to God, before I get saved, I have my righteousness, I have my good deeds, if you will. I have my works, my breaking God's commandments, the filth of all my sin. It's all over me. I just can't get it off. I mean, it's just everywhere. It's on me. I can't even get it on. But it's just all over me. It's just stuck all over me. And then all of a sudden, I see what Jesus did for me. I realize that, hey, I am guilty before God. This is filth. I don't want this on me. How do I get rid of this? I mean, I'm taking a shower. I'm trying to wash it off. I go in the baptistry. I get baptized. I get out. I'm like, it's still there. How come I can't get rid of it? Why is this all over me? What am I going to do? I need to get rid of this. And then all of a sudden, I come to realize, hey, through the law of the Lord, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. I see all this filth on me, and it's all over me, and I can't get it off, and it's on me, and I don't know what to do, and I'm standing there. I'm like, help, I need help. God, would you show me what to do? And all of a sudden, through the law of God, I'm brought to as a schoolmaster, it brings me to Christ, and I see Christ, and I say, oh, God, please, I need your salvation. I don't want this filth on me anymore. And then all of a sudden, I turn, and I ask Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And now what we're going to do is we're going to pretend, I know it's a far stretch, and you're going to have to really use your imagination, but we're going to pretend that this is the righteousness of Christ, okay? We know the source it came from. We get it. All right? But we're going to pretend that this represents the righteousness of Christ. And Christ was sinless, wasn't he?
Amen.
Christ had never sinned. He was perfect. And this is what happens at salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that, I can't remember it. What happened? He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He knew no sin. He was sinless. So that we could be made the righteousness of God. So that we could have this.
Amen.
So now if I have this, if I have the righteousness of Christ, well, he was sinless.
Amen.
Then that means if I have this, then I am sinless. Those are the two payments God will accept. Mine, and now nobody wants this. No one's going to buy a blue pinstripe suit ever again, probably in here. Okay? Nobody wants that. That's my righteousness, but I need this righteousness.
Amen.
And God will give it to anybody. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Right.
Any one of us can come to repentance. So when I turn to Christ and I realize that I'm in trouble because of that, and if I stand before God with that, I'm going to be thrown in the lake of fire. And I say, God, I need your righteousness. Lord, I'm condemned already. I'm without hope. God, help me. Lord Jesus, save me. Then all of a sudden, now, see, it's large to cover all my sin.
Right.
Now I've got the righteousness of Christ. And I look like a 12-year-old. But now I've got the righteousness of Christ on me. So now when God looks at me, he doesn't see this. You know why he doesn't see this? Because it says he became sin for us. So when he was on the cross, he took my sin.
Amen.
He took my sin. He paid for all of it. And when I turn to him in repentance and faith, he gives me his righteousness.
Right.
And now my sin's covered. And I'm taken care of. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
That's what we all need. Without the righteousness of Christ, you'll stand on your own. And it doesn't fare good for you. That's what we all need. The righteousness of Christ. Have you received it? If not, God will do the right thing and he will throw you in the lake of fire. Does he want to do that? No, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God died for the ungodly. So I'm going to fix my life up. No, you can't have it. Can't have it. You're already a mess. You've already got the filth all over you. You can't wash this off. You can't wash your sin away. You could do all the good works you want. You can't wash it away. Only Christ can do that. The blood of Christ. That's why we make a big deal about Jesus around here. because he's the only one that can forgive you. He's the only one that can save you. And by the way, he proved it because he's not still dead. He rose from the dead.
Amen.
Amen. Archaeology proves that too, by the way.
Amen.
Go to Israel. Go look over there. You look in any tomb you want to. He's not there because he rose from the dead 3 days later. All right. Amen.